MrOla.com. See what you've been missing out on.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Services such as web and pop 3 email, image editing, and logo design at very low rates.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Free streaming and downloadable videos.
MrOla.com.
That's www.MROLAF.com.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Hi, this is Lisa Butler, American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena. Our website is aaevp.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
What's a nut? Listen to W Paranormal Talk Radio, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Pioneer Radio Network. For show information, visit WParanormal.com.
Do you remember the time when you would go from Mars? I don't know if you knew that. Oh, it's death, the playing cards, and you were into them and cigars. And she never told me her name. I still love you, the girl from Mars.
I think we had too much
caffeine.
fluids and stuff when we were at the restaurant today, guys. We're all bouncing up like bean, like little beans going to the bathroom during break.
I'm bouncing.
I'm not ready.
I'm just getting back.
Karma.
Yes.
You guys were talking on the break.
Yes.
And you brought up something very interesting concerning JFK.
I had asked if Barr had thought that with his whole idea and of the whole conspiracy, if Marilyn Monroe still kind of worked into it.
Yeah.
If she still fit into that whole...
Yeah, what her role was, possibly.
Yeah, and if it still like made sense and what he's looking at as far as his idea of what happened, if it was still something that was being worked into what he had thought.
Well, to be quite honest myself, I know nothing about Marilyn Monroe.
Well,
Marilyn Monroe.
I mean, you are familiar that the stories are that JFK and Marilyn
Happy birthday,
Mr. President.
Well, that's very hot. I mean, that's the only thing I do know about Marilyn Monroe right there.
And it was somewhat of an embarrassment, I believe, to the party and the family and everything like that.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to find out what Barr says, because I was done when you were talking about it, and it would be fascinating to know if that particular thing had anything to do with it, or was it just LBJ's power play, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And did her body really disappear for a while where it wasn't found? I've heard that.
Oh, I wonder.
What do you think about that, Barr?
We have with Marilyn Monroe's death. It happened over a year before the assassination, and I don't know any correlation directly to the assassination itself, nor do I have anything to show LBJ was behind it.
Mm-hmm.
What I do know is a... fellow I've been working with since my book came out has come up with some new evidence that points not to a suicide on Marilyn's part, but to murder. And behind it was the government trying to keep this information from getting out. As you may know, back in those days, the media, especially the White House press corps, was very friendly to the president.
Mm-hmm.
They were very unwilling to do anything that might embarrass the president on what was considered essentially private conduct. But John Kennedy was a womanizer. So was Lyndon Johnson. He said he had more women than John Kennedy did. But what was going on immediately before the assassination was another woman was involved, and this woman was from East Germany. Her husband worked with the West German embassy there in Washington, name of Ellen Romich, and she had an affair through Bobby Baker, a good friend of Lyndon Johnson's, had been brought to Kennedy and was in the beginning of a real embarrassment. Well, J. Edgar Hoover stepped in with Johnson's participation, and they got the woman out before anything could be done about it, sent her back, made her persona non grata, and sent her out of the country.
Mm.
But this was in September, just before the assassination. And while I don't have all the facts, there are indications that this was part of Johnson's way of doing business. It gets pretty deep here in their personal conduct, but making women available was a practice.
Mm.
And the best guess I have, I don't have the good hard evidence on it, is Ellen Romich was made available to keep Kennedy from dropping Johnson. This is one of the only points at which any official investigation got close to Johnson. The big question being, was John Kennedy going to drop Lyndon Johnson? If Johnson were dropped, it would have terrible consequences for him. He would no longer be protected from indictment. Of course, he wouldn't be a man of power anymore, even if it was the little bit of power that the vice presidency kept. Johnson was doing everything he could to hold on to that shield. And so, when this woman's involved and then has to be sent out of the country to avoid a scandal, Johnson really has used his last standard weapon, so to speak, of defense.
Uh-huh.
And the story is that the night before Kennedy leaves for Texas, he tells his secretary there, Evelyn Lincoln, that he's going to get someone else as vice president. And how much that played in the final assassination is hard to say, but all of these things were going on, and it becomes a real mystery. I hate to say a paranormal thing. It becomes a real inquiry into nomination, final decision.
It's not common, though, to drop your vice president, is it? I mean, I've only been alive, you know, a couple of decades or a few decades, but I don't think it's common to drop your vice president, is it?
Oh, that's true, and you want to stay with your man. I mean, it's part of the president saying, look, I picked a good man, and he's still a good man, and I stand behind him. So, you know, I picked him good in the first place. I know what I'm doing, and I stand by my friends, and I'm going to stand by him. But it has happened, and there have been vice presidents who've been dropped. The fellow who was the governor of Maryland, I forget his name now, back under Nixon, he was dropped. You have these this precedent, so it could have happened, and there is pretty good evidence that it was going to happen. Like I say, it's the only point where the investigation into the assassination really focused on Johnson, and it's come up inconclusive so far. William Manchester wrote a book shortly after the assassination about the death of the president. Very moving book, and he talked to a lot of people, even before the Warren investigators did, before the FBI did. He has some records, I believe, in his estate now that are going to help us on this point. But again, it's one of those things that remains a mystery, and you really have to make your best judgment. And if you know what motivated these men, it becomes pretty clear.
That's the thing that grabs me still. I mean, I tend to look at the big picture for things like this, and that's where all the mystery comes from, because you're like, okay, we murdered a president. We murdered a president here. We assassinated a president. And the obviously what is interesting is all the reasons or events that lead up to that. And like we touched upon a couple of them, obviously you have a few of your reasons why LBJ is responsible for it. And all the cover-ups, like we said, that's the big thing here. Is all these, there's tons more to it. For example, where caskets change from one location to another. Now, of course, the people in charge say, look, we're doing this for security purposes. We can't leave ourselves open to anything right now. We just had a president assassinated. But there was one situation where when he was shipped out of Texas, he was in just a standardized, just a regular, you know, shipping casket, a body shipping casket. And when he, oh, God, no, I'm totally forgetting now where they shipped him to.
To the medical examiners, you know. Naval Center there.
Yeah, where was... Do you remember... I totally blanked out. Do you remember where that was at exactly, Barr?
Yeah.
What city was that in again? I'm sorry.
In Bethesda, Maryland.
Thank you.
Autopsy.
When he showed up at Bethesda, he's in this really real... I mean, you think he's the president, they're going to ship him in something real nice. That's what I'd assume, right? But like I said, in Texas, he came out in a regular shipping crate, what they shipped him in. When he arrived in Bethesda, he came out in this very... beautiful brass, you know, presidential casket. Now it seems kind of funny that they would change. How do they change in the air? And like I said, the people in charge do say that this was for security purposes only, and that we need to protect the president. I mean, obviously.
Well, I assume that a lot of the things that went on, you know, while not, you know, maybe not standard operating procedure or whatever, I imagine a lot of people were just doing their job.
Oh, absolutely.
And were not involved in you know, any of the scheming and
yeah.
politics and murder and assassination and that kind of thing. I imagine a lot of people were just doing their job.
I'm sure a lot of people don't even have any idea. I mean, even if they were, like you said, they're just doing their job.
I wouldn't,
you know,
ask questions.
I wouldn't. Oh, no.
Well,
no.
Some of these people...
When you're dealing with that level of... I wouldn't ask questions.
Well, some of these people are talking about their careers right here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is their whole life.
Sign this farm. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sign this farm or you lose your pension. You lose everything you've worked the last 20 or 30 years for. That's basically
government employees, and they know who the boss is, and guess
oh,
who
yeah.
that boss is immediately after the assassination.
Yeah, yeah.
And the cover-up, a lot of people will tell you this little word, few words, the cover-up proves the crime, and there was an immense cover-up. And like you say, I think a lot of the people that were involved in these, shall we say, mysterious actions after the assassination were doing their job. But they were doing it in a way that fit the party line. So
exactly. They were doing their job without knowing what was really going on. They were just a small piece in the puzzle without knowing what the big... And that's why I like to look at things like that. I want to know what the big picture is, so I know what my part in it is. You see what I'm saying? As far as if I'm asked to do something, okay, what's this going to accomplish in the end?
And that's the way these men would approach it. They had to look at the big picture, and again, it goes back to the motives I tried to touch on in the book.
Mm-hmm.
These were all at play, and a lot of people don't know about these things.
Mm-hmm.
I was touching on big oil and their attitude, that same attitude was with Johnson. They lived in, big oil lived a perfect world. I mean, they were billionaires, and mm-hmm. they didn't want anybody messing with it. And Johnson, I mean, Kennedy was messing with it.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to make peace. He was looking socialistic to them.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't like that. They said, I got a perfect world. Don't mess around with me.
Well, you're talking about the job. I mean, like, Doug, that was a great point, by the way, because that drives it right home right there. People are just doing their jobs. Concerning
and that was true, like I say, right after the assassination. They were doing their jobs, but they were doing it in a way that would protect the party line, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, concerning the caskets, though.
Own assassinate.
Concerning the caskets, like I was talking about a minute ago. Like we said, people are just doing their jobs. We have to do this for security of the president. They did a cross-check on this, though. They talked to both of the people that shipped them out, the medical examiner that shipped out the casket from Texas, and the medical examiner that received it, in Bethesda, okay?
Yeah.
And they said, what casket did they ship him out in, right? And, of course, the medical examiner in Texas said, oh, we shipped him out in a regular standardized shipping crate, okay? And what's going on here, what they said is when they received the actual shipment, the people in Bethesda said, the gentleman who was receiving, said that they actually landed the helicopter I believe it was a helicopter they had the casket on. They actually landed about 4 football fields away from Bethesda Naval Base, the medical base right there, right?
Right. And so you have all these things going on.
Well, yeah. And like I said, these people, that he said, I saw him land way out there, and then they came back and they landed. And they, you know, when he landed, of course, they were in this beautiful, like I said before, this beautiful ship in this nice casket, right? People don't know what they're just doing with their little piece in the operation, their little part in the process. So they don't know what's going on. But now we have people, like you said, these evidence is coming out, and we're cross-referencing all this stuff and going, hey, this don't make any sense. What's going on here? I don't understand this.
I've been reading the chat rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And IDT Guru pops in,
uh-huh.
right, and introduces himself or herself. I don't know. I didn't, mm-hmm. That was earlier on.
Yeah.
And IDT Guru is saying something really, really important.
Okay.
The records. He or she doubts if the records exist or exist anymore. Like all this cover-up.
The investigation records?
Yeah, like what... And furthermore, after that, you know, like 100 years from now, the history books will still say that Lee Harvey Oswald acted on his own.
Yeah.
So what's going to change? You know, what can change? Like who can get a hold of these records? Do these records still exist? Is there a way to prove the case, or do you do it in your book?
Well, I try and do it in the book. Now, it's not a beyond a reasonable doubt case. I'm really pushing the conspirators for a legal reason.
Mm-hmm.
When you prove a conspiracy, the people involved in the conspiracy have the burden of showing they didn't do it. It changes the whole game. My biggest push is to get the LBJ library to go after the secret attorney's records that I identify in the book. I call them the penthouse records. There's where everything that Ed Clark did for Lyndon Johnson was hidden.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get those records, we have gone a long way, and I know it's going to show what's in the book. Another big batch of records that is still out there is Jackie Kennedy. She sealed her records until 2045. And why would she do that except to protect grief, you know, prevent grief from people that she knew, like the Johnson family itself?
Uh-huh.
We have a nephew of Jackie Kennedy who called me when the book came out and said that what's in the book is accurate as far as he knows about what was involved between Kennedy and Mrs. Kennedy and Johnson. So, again, there's records coming out that are going to show this. I mentioned the Manchester records as a research effort, and Robert Caro is writing a book that's going to cover this era in Johnson's life, and I know he's got some good records. Still, the government has records that it's hiding. A lawsuit was filed in January to try and bring some of those out. So, yes, sir, I think there are records out there, but the key ones are going to be the lawyers' records.
Yeah,
I say they've been... removed from the privilege because Johnson, when he dedicated this library, said, I'm showing all my records. I'll show you everything. You know, I'll show the warts on my record. Anything you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see those lawyers' records.
Well, I did read an article and somewhere where they were talking about the actual dental records of JFK after his murder, where the actual autopsy was going on and all the evidence, the samples they took
physical samples they took. Those were so supposed to be stored also. And obviously people have been pushing. There's been numerous people, such as yourself, that are pushing, hey, what's the truth here? What's going on? There was a cover-up here. This is a conspiracy. They actually went back, and I believe that's kept, these particular samples were supposed to be kept in Washington, D.C. It's a national. It was supposed to be kept in the National Archives in Washington, D.C.
Right.
This is where they were supposed to store these samples at and this evidence. They went back there and, well, they went and, okay, where are they at? Well,
they're gone.
We don't know.
Missing.
This particular lawyer who was working on this said, as far as this evidence goes, there isn't a lawyer or a judge on the planet, or let's just say in America, they would put up with that in their courtroom, to lose evidence like that. And that's why this lawyer is saying there's a conspiracy here. You do not lose evidence. He was very, very keen on that point right there. There is not a judge on here that would have that happen in his courtroom. You cannot lose evidence. They'll throw the case right out.
Well,
obviously,
especially something entrusted to the National Archives.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're entrusting something to like some county clerk or something like that, that might be a little different than entrusting something to the National Archives.
That's big. That's very big.
Yeah.
That's one other piece, though. Just another thing added to the pile.
There's so many eyebrows raised then.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, Barr undoubtedly had something in his past, right? You had something in your past made you raise your eyebrow and wonder what went on here, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there had to be something. Same thing with this fellow, this lawyer who tried to get, you know, access to those records
mm-hmm.
in the National Archives, and then, eyebrow goes up. Something's up with that, you know. So many raised eyebrows from so many different angles.
Mm-hmm.
It all
Well, that's true, and the archives have such strict rules that, you know, when they get violated, it's pretty easy to conclude that something was going on.
Yeah.
Let me mention one thing. I learned about this when one of the lawyers told me that, you know, Clark was behind the assassination,
mm-hmm.
and some of his senior partners all confirmed that to me. But you do raise your eyebrows when you're on the inside like I was, and you knew how things were done, and then things happen that shouldn't happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you know, you make the obvious conclusion that there's something fishy going on here, and it's not any step of disbelief to go that further step and say, well, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the evidence I was able to bring together, particularly about the money trail, I could trace it using just those techniques. But they're standard techniques. And like you mentioned, the lawyer who saw these things going on, like say, raised his eyebrows. Yeah, that happened to me too, and I could see it in several different places. And it made it possible for me to fit it together and say, well, here's the money trail.
Mm-hmm.
I can see how Clark ended up with a $2 million bonus for the assassination.
Well, that's
$2 million.
$2 million, yeah.
That's the price, I guess.
Well, that's the point right there, is that everything, I mean, even back then, to this day and age, from the private sector all the way up to the top of the government, there's a process for everything.
Oh, it's
there's
everything
a process,
is proceduralized.
Everything is proceduralized. Yeah. There's a thing you have to do for everything. There's an amendment to that or whatever. Our Constitution's based on that now. It's all a process. And like we're saying, I mean, the National Archives... I'm not saying
there's a
conspiracy, but I'm saying the National Archives, we're not talking
so
about...
proceduralized.
Yeah, we're not talking about, hey, buddy, hold on to this for a few minutes while I go to the party store and get some cigarettes. No, we're talking about the National Archives here. You just don't... Oh, well, I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know where they went. Sorry.
It doesn't happen.
Especially if they're samples and evidence from a president.
Right. What do you know what occurred to me? Would this, the way they did it, the way that this happened and the assassination happened and then the cover-up that followed, Barr, what would have to be done differently today? Because what occurs to me is I don't know if they would have gotten away with it today. And here's why. Here's why. I mean, I think they can get away with a heck of a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
you know, anybody who's in, you know, top government or top anything, you know, organization, I think they can get away with a heck of a lot, and I think they can cover themselves up and everything like that. But when you've got such an important media story, media, I think, today is bigger, global, instant communications, everything's whizzing around on satellites.
Well,
what would happen today? Like, could they get away with something like that today, I guess is my question.
It's a real good question. It's been asked me several times, and I have been very emphatic that it could not have happened. One big reason was the media itself. I mentioned earlier yep. the president exactly. in the White House. And it was the same thing here. They could not ever bring themselves to believe that a president, a vice president, would do what Johnson did. You had another thing going on, too, and it was more in a Texas story. There was no two-party state. And you do have now pretty vigorous politics at the partisan level.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't see how it could happen, the cover-up could happen again. But mainly it'd be the media.
The media, I was thinking of that as Doug was speaking. The media is completely the opposite of the way it was back then.
They would be all over.
I mean, George Bush can't fall off his bike without being just
right. I mean, Clinton, every time he went to McDonald's, they'd print his order in the paper. You know?
I mean, they're a lot less friendly than they were back then now. So, yeah, that'd be a very... The media does... I mean, I don't care what he says, and we talk about this every single
you
week.
You don't watch media, Scott. I mean...
I don't watch it for a good reason. Yeah. That's the reason right there is that they cover all this ridiculous stuff that means nothing.
Right.
That's
but
one
I
reason.
Think that... I think as an interesting watchdog kind of thing, I think...
Well, yeah, on that aspect right there, if those were their genuine... In my opinion, if those were their genuine motives, hey, look, we're going to, I mean, because we all know down here, and I'm sure you do know, Barr, I believe that the media is another arm of the government nowadays. I believe that they might as well be. They might as well be.
But at the same time, they're also interested in their own careers and their own politics and their own. So covering something as big as, oh, hey, look what's going down. Look at this memo I found, you know, that kind of thing. Mm. You would run across, you could be that part of the media that wants to break such a ridiculous story. I mean, I agree. I don't think it could happen today.
I really don't. Like and again, there's a lot of competition. But real interesting thing has happened, and one of the reporters commented on it this way. Said, "So you think you scooped us, did you, McClellan?" And they really take pride in that they covered the assassination thoroughly, and they couldn't be scooped, but they didn't. I mean, they really couldn't expect to. What went on really was behind the attorney-client privilege. They had no access.
Yeah, how much access can you have? You know, I mean, how far can you get in there to report? They're not going to let you go only so far.
Well, I've seen actual, like, because when I was in high school, so we're talking the early 80s, the...
Oh, come on.
No, really. Oh, wait. When did I graduate? Oh,
you guys
late.
You were studying with candles. Just say it.
And yeah, and we rode horseback to school too. What happened was I went to this symposium kind of thing for a week at Eastern Michigan University, and they had a presentation.
Uh-huh.
And one of the they had a lot of them, but one of them, the one I signed up for, was, you know, the JFK assassination. And they showed the really interesting thing that they showed, the thing that absolutely blew me away. Remember, this is when my formative years, right? Uh-huh. They showed documentation that they had gotten about the assassination from the government under Freedom of Information Act. Now, back then, Freedom of Information Act was still new, because I'm old. And what happens is they showed these. The only thing you could see on the document was the date.
Yeah,
everything else
was
blacked out.
Yeah,
redacted is what it's called.
Yeah. So what happens is that was the first time I ever ran up against something that I could, like, you know, say, "Whoa, you know, there's something going on." Like, because why would they, you know, redact the document that to that extent?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is I knew back then something was going on, and as did the presenters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even remember who they were or what they were, you know, trying to prove. I just remember seeing these documents, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. Our own government is doing that to us. They're still doing it today.
Yeah, they
today. And the cover-up proves the crime. Don't forget that one.
Sure does. Why don't we take a quick break?
Yeah.
Because this is flying by.
Yeah.
And I'm so sad to say we've got only one more break and then only one more segment.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's take one more quick break. We'll be right back with more about JFK, LBJ, from our guest, Barr McClellan.
We'll be right back.
It's paranormal, scientific. It's ghostly talk.
Clutch. It's just a groovy little riff right there.
And it works. I mean, it works good. Brings us right back onto the show.
Clutch has a new album out. I think I already pimped these guys on the show.
Oh, really?
They have a new album out. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's so good. Go get it.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm John.
I'm Scott L.
And I am Karma.
And, of course, we are here live. We're on the air live every Sunday night from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Pioneer Network. That's pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net. We have our own website, www.ghostlytalk.com, where all kinds of cool stuff goes on. People talk in the shout box. People post journals. People talk in the bulletin board system thing there. And so it's a pretty happening site as well. You know, Ghostly Talk immediately precedes W Paranormal.
Yeah.
And W Paranormal is very exciting tonight, especially. Tonight is, what is it, September, or what's the date today? August something?
August 15th.
August 15th. And are you sure?
I am sure.
Is it? Today's the 15th.
Ah, excellent. Yes. Wow, middle of August already. It feels like October, you guys, here in Michigan.
It's flying. Yeah, it does physically outside. It does.
And W Paranormal has an awesome show tonight. If you're listening to Ghostly Talk, stay tuned to Pioneer, because afterwards W Paranormal is going to be talking about the Billy Meyer UFO case.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna have to just like grab you and go. Make the CD.
I got to get home. Yeah. To listen to. And then, of course, Ghostly Talk is one of the cool things about Ghostly Talk is we have archives. You download the archives throughout the week, and literally, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people download these things throughout the week. And also, Ghostly Talk is aired in afterwards.
Yeah, I don't know. They archives up on other stations.
Yeah, on other stations like WSSX, KSSX, and Pioneer, of course.
Moist FM.
So all these stations replay us. So if you're not listening between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time
download
on Sunday night,
we do this every. We put it on every week.
Right. We're
you can
not
download
live.
It. You can stream it. You can do all kinds of fun stuff.
Right. We are live on Sundays.
Yes.
So that's it.
When we were on the break.
Just wanted to let you know.
When we were on the break, Barr, you threw a number at us. You threw a statistic at me, and we were discussing this, and you said that they just took it. You said this was released in January?
Right.
Okay. You said that there was a poll taken, and 11% of the people in America, right?
Right.
Believe... Well, it was 11% of the people actually believe that there was a lone in the lone gunman theory, which is that's the Johnson Report basically right there. It's the lone gunman theory. The other 89%,
the Warren Commission report.
I'm sorry, the Warren Commission. The other 89% believe that it was a conspiracy.
Something else happened.
Now that lends now we're talking about rewriting history. We're talking about it is 50 years from now. Are we still gonna be looking at the books, and they're still going to be saying,
right, and that's
well,
what IDC
gunman.
Guru had said in the chat room, and the thing that Barr was saying, and I think I completely agree, is if, instead of, letting history stand incorrectly, it's work like what Barr is doing and what we're doing to an extent, and is letting people know, what you've seen in the history books may not be correct, and you need to really think about this for yourself.
And that's great. That's what should be done. But if let's just say next weekend you're watching the football game or whatever game there is, the Olympics are on right now. Okay, you're watching the Olympics, and all of a sudden, ding 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 ding, big report comes on, and somebody goes, look, all right. We're going to level with you. Okay, this is what really went down. Here's all the proof you need. Here's everything from the National Archives, wherever. Here's everything. You're going to see it all. Here is the proof that this was a conspiracy. Now, we're talking about 40 years now ahead of time. Yeah, we're talking about 40 years now since this event occurred. I don't want to sound pessimistic, but what difference is it going to make for us now? What are we going to gain from going, oh, really? I mean, by verifying our suspicions.
Well, for one of the things, I think the truth.
The truth, that to me, that's very important. To me. But I'm talking about the rest of the people that,
Trust in the government. Well,
I don't know if I can answer that. You see, I don't know if I can answer that accurately because I wasn't there. I don't remember when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was there when Princess Diana, got killed. And I remember the immense, tragic, worldwide, outpouring. And from what I understand, everybody I know, who they know right where they were and what they were doing when they heard that JFK was shot.
Yeah.
So I mean, everybody I've talked to about it, they just know exactly what it was. It was that big. It was a huge effect. It may mean something a heck of a lot different to folks who were there than it would to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So why don't we ask Barr? what would it mean? What would it mean to people if they said, oh, guess what? Here's all the proof. If they did that on, Saturday night.
Well, I think it would really mean a lot. I think it's like you've lost a child and you can't find them. You've got an answer. And I have had so many people who've read the book come up just with that. Well, thank you. One woman, it was really traumatic, called and said, I saw one of the exhibits on what Mac Wallace had done. And one of the women that was killed, and it was listed as a fella killing her. And now we know that... it wasn't an affair, which is what we thought it was, and which led my father to an early grave. But it was Mac Wallace acting to cover up the crime. So when you
yeah.
witnessed it, as you were saying. It does bring you a sense of relief. But I think in the longer term, there really is something to be said, a whole lot to be said for getting the facts out there. And then you can judge history. You can judge your future. You can really approach the future a lot better armed. Like, for example, we talked about how would this ever happen again? And we know things are in place now to make it very difficult to happen.
Yeah.
So you get what you need, really, to run the government. In the book, I touch on, too, just the high drama that came in such great plays as Hamlet and Macbeth and Julius Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thrust of it was to get the facts out. And in Hamlet, though, if you remember, you know, to be or not to be, he was so conflicted over it because it was so important. He knew that if he took the steps he took, a lot of people would see it as, and I think he was looking at this too, that he could destroy his nation, and in fact he did.
Mm-hmm.
His, you know, the king is killed, he's killed, it all ends up with a disaster. And people don't want to have to face up to that sometimes. The flip side of it is, though, when you do know it and you can assess it correctly, you can do something about it. In fact, it's been going on with the LBJ Library. They're getting a lot of letters saying, you know, we've got to tear this building down. You can't have a monument to an assassin. So things can happen, and important things can happen. But I think, I guess it was Scott said it earlier, you just got to have the truth out there so you can know what you're doing and plan accordingly.
Well, another thing I just thought about, too, I mean, we do base our decisions on past events. We base a lot of things we do now. I mean, we've discussed this there on this show, not even concerning this particular situation. Every movement you make during the day, every decision you make is based on a previous event and the desired effect. For example, when I wake up tomorrow bright and early to go to work, I'm going there because I know that, you know, in previous times, that's how I pay for my house and pay for my bills and things like that. So that's what I need to do. I've learned from, not really learned from the past, but bigger things like this. If my question or my look on that now would be, if we're basing our decisions on things that didn't really go the way they said they were basing them on lies, where are we going to get? am I making any sense here whatsoever?
No, I'm looking at me like it makes sense.
I mean, we're basing go ahead.
Yeah, what you've got to do is you've got to, in order to move forward, you've got to acknowledge the past. You've got to know
the truth of the past. That's the most important part.
And what actually happened.
To me, I mean, obviously from the business we're in here, Barr, the truth's a very important thing to us. I mean, this is what we're truth seekers when it comes to this stuff, whether it comes from things that are non-natural or things that happen every day in life, like this, like a real-life situation, a conspiracy, a cover-up. I mean, the truth is it's very important to us, but I don't think personally that everybody looks at it that way.
I do address in the book, though, a couple of reforms I suggest to keep this from happening again, and one is just get information out.
Yeah.
We were laughing about those FOIA, Freedom of Information documents that were redacted. There's no way to give freedom of information. You don't give any information at all. So if we just could get the facts out as they develop openly, but the government can't seem to do that. And that's one big change that could be done so that, you know, when we go ahead with something, it's based on facts. One of the philosophers really on lying, a woman named Cecilia Bach in Massachusetts, said that in government it is most important that we have the accuracy of the facts before us. And we know in the assassination of John Kennedy we didn't have that. So we really missed the boat on getting to the truth there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true everywhere. We've just got to have more freedom of information. Of course, my biggest thing in the book, and talk about the privilege that lawyers get. A lot of lawyers think that privilege means they can commit crimes by themselves and they can commit crimes for their clients because they're protected. That's not so.
Oh, obviously,
we really need to look
not.
At the privilege because that's what made it possible to cover up the assassination, is look at that privilege and limit it as much as we can. So, again, facts will come out and these lawyers can't go in there and plot as much as they do in secrecy and get away with it.
Well, I do know, as far as the situation at hand goes, like I said, I mean, the thing that confuses me, and I mean, I'm talking about, I try to approach things like this and everything from the outside, because, I mean, we've been doing this show for, we're pushing almost 3 years now, and obviously there's two sides to every situation when it comes to something like this. You're always going to have, you know, obviously the lone given theory in this situation, and then there's also there was a conspiracy. Now, if there was a situation where they like I said, they were able to get the information, like you say, get the facts out as they come, and have a way to verify, hey, this is what really went down, this is the truth. I think the problem we're going to have, and this is me trying to stand outside of it and go, okay, look, I'm just looking in on this, who do I believe, right? There's always going to be two sides, as it seems like. There is going to always be the conspiracy theory against the government, and there's always going to be the government going, okay, look, we're telling the truth. Just chill out. Just give us a chance
here. Yeah, the government said that before, though.
Yeah. Oh, no, and we've discussed this stuff.
Okay, yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to remain objective with this. Is it ever going to end where we're going to be? I mean, there is a solution.
Well,
let's get the truth out.
I think it's triply. It's got to be like amazingly hard to be objective about anything.
Yeah,
because we're all affected, and that goes back to like you know what happens if you know they announce, oh, here's all the documents, here's everything, here's what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
We're all of us here, even you know we're. I know Karma and Scott Ellen, myself, and Will and Bonnie are all American citizens. We live
I'm
in.
Not.
You're not?
No.
Okay. Then most of us are American citizens. You are too.
I am.
And and so all of this affects how you know our society, our entire society, and everything that we've grown up to believe in and to trust and honor and you know live by.
Well, yeah.
The you know, is and the government oversees pretty much everything that we've, you know, done, seen, heard. I mean, they're
well, just
the
this event
body.
Alone. This event alone has, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there just based on that, the assassination itself, that swayed their opinion of the government right there.
Well, that's
from,
true.
From
and,
then on.
And one big thing is that we hear from a lot of people saying, well, you got to trust your government. Well, we know better than that.
Yeah.
And the fact is, the government acts to protect itself. And one of the things I do suggest in the book, interestingly enough here, it's a lie for us to, it's a crime for us as citizens to lie to a member of the government. Well, I think we should make it a law that it's a lie for any member of the government to lie to us.
Yeah.
And not only do that, but apply it to the politicians too. And make it stiff penalties. Now, this is just a small step, but it's one step more that we want the facts out of our government. And,
well, isn't it another thing?
No, don't get them.
Isn't there another point on this, though, too? We do that, remember, that we're talking about people that a lot of people in this circle have unlimited resources, too. They have more capital than any of us down here will probably ever see in our lives. They have unlimited reach into the White House. They have unlimited resources to use. So even if we were to put these laws in place, like you say, which I agree with wholeheartedly, wouldn't there, I mean, we've seen this already. Attorneys do this every day. We find loopholes left and right, and we're able to get people out of the crimes they've committed, possibly, or the punishment that they're supposed to be receiving as a result of these crimes. Wouldn't that just? I mean, it seems like a vicious circle to me. I mean, yeah, we can put a law in place and say, okay, look, if, like you said, Barr, if you lie to your government, you are going to be nailed to the deepest we can put you down, we're putting you down. But listen, you cannot lie to the people, though, either. You're going to be treated the same way. Fine. Hey, all right. If you can prove it, great. Hey, I agree. That's good. But like I said, they have this unlimited reach. They have these resources, and that's what they've been using. How do you think they did cover up the assassination? They have these unlimited resources. I couldn't do something like that on my own. I wouldn't be able to cover up the assassination of a president, but a group of people with unlimited resources and capital can do something like that. It just seems like it's a vicious circle that I don't want to sound pessimistic. I don't want to sound horrible, but it don't seem like we could ever get out of it.
Well, I don't blame you. You're expressing frustration. You're frustrated the way that it's the way that it, you know, the government does look after itself first, and then you know the rest of the rest of the country second.
Yeah.
And it is frustrating. I agree. And what can you do about it? Probably not much, but at least getting something in writing the books, like Barr is suggesting, I think you know getting it in writing would be a wonderful.
Well, I think it might keep
protection.
The honest. It might keep the honest people out.
It could do that too.
Hey, Barr, do you have any conspiracy theories about any of the other Kennedy deaths? Because a lot of people just say that they're just cursed, like
well,
the family curse.
Well, that's unlikely. I mean, I do have a friend who was working with Robert Kennedy up to the very end. He became a friend after the book came out, and he has some ideas of what was going on there. I'm working on getting all this out in this second book, and I may have that answered. This fellow's been a lot more circumspect than others I've talked to. and I got to have his approval before I can say anything, of course. But, yeah, there was a good possibility there, and I don't have it from the inside, but I do have it from the outside, and it fits into what I know.
It just seems like there's just too much bad luck surrounding this family. And there was a big, I don't know, like a legend or something about something that happened, like, way, way back in the day to the Kennedy family that kind of cursed them, like somebody put a curse on them.
Well,
do you know anything about that?
I can't prove it in a court of law, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It was something that they did. I'll have to research it, but I heard it on like a History Channel thing or something.
Or, yeah, one of those 60-minute special things.
Yeah, it was something that their family had done, and that somebody had actually put, like, a voodoo curse on their family.
I wonder how much voodoo has to do with the government. Probably not much.
I'm talking about the family and their bad luck.
Well, I have a feeling, though, that the Kennedys,
I think a lot of this is self-inflicted.
I think it might be a lot self-inflicted, because whenever you put together, because we've, you know, to try and sum up a lot of different things, we've got a lot of politics going on. We got a lot of money being looked after and changing
a lot of interest
numbers.
Being looked after.
We have a lot of political interest going on. We have a lot of we had even the women in the mix, right? Women, power, politics, money.
Yeah.
Ow, that's dangerous to get mixed up in.
Yeah.
And when you base your
career for generations on that.
Yeah. When you create your entire family's like heritage on that.
Yeah. People are gonna get clipped.
You're mixed up in a lot of powerful stuff going on. Yeah.
Well, that's why we named my book "Blood, Money, and Power."
There you go.
Well, there you go.
I
mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, like we said, I mean, one of the main reasons that this happened was that. That JFK was a president. From what I wasn't even alive then, honestly. But from what I've read, people I've talked to, I've talked to a lot of people about this. I mean, people that are much older than myself that said, "Yeah, man." And like you were saying earlier, Doug, I was in my kitchen making spaghetti.
Right.
And
they know exactly where they were.
Every single one of them I talked to, and this is going to back you up, Barbie. Like, man, I'm like, well, what did you think? You think it was a lone gunman? They're like, man, are you kidding me?
Yeah, everybody.
It was
I know
a cover up, man.
Agrees
it was blatantly
that,
a cover up, and these are people that they've been putting a screw into a hole for 30 or 40 years. I mean, these are people that they have. I mean, I'm not knocking them in any way. I'm just saying these are people that really don't concern themselves with governmental processes or don't think about it very much. But they could just look at this from the outside. Somebody who just goes to work every day and say, "Man, there was a cover up. This was a cover-up. I can see that."
Well, for our generation, we have our own little conspiracy thing going on with 9/11.
Well, yeah, 9/11.
We know where we were on that day.
Yeah, we know where everything.
Same exact situation. I can tell you detail by detail of everything, and I know we all can do that. I can tell you exactly what went on that whole day.
I can tell you I didn't sleep for a couple days.
Well, you didn't sleep for a couple
I was ready to bail up north.
I was planted in front of the TV set the entire time.
Yeah, well, a lot of people were. But, like I said, I mean, you do talk to people about this, and it's very.
It just amazes me how
many people agree that, look, this was a conspiracy. It was a cover up.
I don't think I know any of that 11%.
I don't.
Was a lone gunman.
I don't.
Yeah.
I'd love, and I, to be quite honest, I'd love to get an email from somebody that says, "Man, what do you guys? Man, you guys are crazy. You guys are crazy. You guys are nuts." I mean, there's too much evidence out there. But it comes down to, like we were saying before, though. And I mean, this is my paranoid mind at work at its fullest when I'm really freaking out. There are all these theories out there. People say, "Look, man, hey." You know, I mean, like, there was the breakdowns, scientific breakdowns, color breakdowns, picture breakdowns, mathematical breakdowns of the picture breakdowns. They're one on top of another. It's almost as deep as the cover-up itself, the research.
Did you get to see the computer-generated reenactment of it?
Where they actually, not that one.
I saw a computer on TV.
Yeah, where they have it coming out, they show us.
I'm talking about actually the actual photo itself being broke down.
Yeah, they took that same what you're talking about, and they put it into, like, motion.
Well, yeah. the problem with that, though, too, I'm sorry, Doug, go ahead.
I was actually just going to say, I am so looking forward to this book.
Yeah.
So, Bar, give us the rundown again, what the book, the website, info, tell us about this.
Sure, the book is Blood, Money, and Power, subtitled How LBJ Killed JFK. Is available at most bookstores. If they've sold out, they'll be glad to order it for you.
Yeah.
It's also available on the web, through Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. I do have a webpage. It's myname.com. Okay.
Yeah, barmcclellan.com. You can go to, it's actually linked up on our site, which your site will be getting its permanent place in our hall of, like, glory links, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's like our Valhalla of links we put up for all the people that come on our show. So you can go to our site and link right off of our site and go straight to Bar McClellan's site to check out all the information. There's a sample chapter on the site that you can download from his first book. Yeah, it's from your first book, right, Bar?
Right, and we're trying to keep everybody updated, too, with what's going on. And I'm sure there'll be excerpts from the second book as soon as we go to press with it. And it is originally planned, it was for next month, but I'm thinking we're going to have a little drag there, and it'd probably be November. You always shoot for key dates, and one date was the date the Warren Commission report was issued.
Yeah.
Another was the assassination date itself. A third was John Kennedy's birthday. In fact, we used that occasion to announce the fingerprints had been made.
And that's, those are on your site, too. I know I was actually looking at one of the evidence photos you have up there, and I believe there is the one with the fingerprints. You actually have the diagram of, like, that, the sixth floor and that window right there.
Right. We tried to put in there the key exhibits that show there was a conspiracy to bring Johnson's man, Wallace, right onto the sixth floor. And we did put those up there just to let you know what's in the book. And if you want more, well...
Go buy it. Actually, the second book, it's just in time for Christmas. So that's what I want for Christmas, everybody.
There you go.
Everyone here in the studio.
One last question for you, Bar, though, and I'm very curious about
this.
Then
we have to make way for WP Paranormal.
Yeah, yes, we do.
Yeah.
You were mentioning that, I mean, I'm just curious, and I mean, this is just, I'm concerning the subject matter here with this book and what we've been talking about for the last hour and a half. Have you had problems getting this out to people, like the word? I mean, our show, of course, we're gonna welcome you with open arms here. We'd love to talk about things like this and these ideas and things. And look, we got to think about this some more. But have you had a problem, like, getting this out to people, like getting interviews, so to say, to talk to people about this?
Yeah, the major media have been pretty reluctant to cover it. I'm not sure why, except that Jack Valenti had a lot to do with it, I believe. He was able to get the History Channel to drop a documentary based on the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of muscle is out there, and it becomes threatening sometimes. It's powerful, though,
mm-hmm.
and you can identify it not so much with government, although government is playing a role, but you can identify it in this case with Johnson. I call it LBJ's ghost is still around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It can be formidable when it wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, it was. We know several instances where they got national television programs canceled. And then, like I say, they got this documentary pulled. And that's going to be the subject of a lawsuit because it's just flat wrong. And we're going to do something about it. And that should be filed within the month.
Well,
I don't blame you.
We wish you all luck on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you hang on for one
second?
On.
We're going to close the show.
Close the show, and then we want to talk with you for one more moment after that. Everybody. That's it.
Yeah.
We have, like, butted right up against W Paranormal, and they've got an exciting show for you, so keep it tuned on pioneer.roll.
Yeah, yeah.
Our website is www.ghostlytalk.com. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I am Karma.
This has been Ghostly Talk. We'll see you next week. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from the Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.